Welcome inside the Coach's Room, the number one podcast for football coaches that want to develop. Every week we talk to elite coaches and backroom staff to hear about their experiences, how they develop, and how they develop their players.
You can't coach a team. A team doesn't learn. You can coach all the individuals within a team and make sure they work together and get the best out of the collaboration and working together with each other.
In this episode, we talk to Roger Bongaerts. Roger is head of academy at VVV Venlo, and we talk about Generation Z and the importance of good coaching. Enjoy this episode with the wise Roger Bongaerts. Yes, Roger, welcome inside the coach's room.
Aaron, thanks for having me.
Well, or should I say welcome in your business lounge?
In our business lounge.
Our business lounge, yeah. That, I said before we hit record, okay, well, you have a great office. And yeah, okay, sorry, I have to be fair. This is the business lounge. That's what you said.
It is, yeah. I wish it was my office.
So you're, you're looking towards the pitch or... Or is it to the left?
No, it's to the right around the corner. Yeah, so okay. I can't see the pitch.
Okay. Well, we'll focus on the discussion then. Okay, but you do have an office, of course. And to give some context, you are the head of youth of the of VVV Venlo.
Correct.
Which is a small but professional club. It's, again, is that kind of how I should describe it?
Yeah, we kind of travel between the first and the second division each year. So last year we were in the highest division, and this year in the second division, division, as it's called in Holland.
My impression is, okay, yes, it's professional football, but it's also a small club. You have some limitations. There's always ways to be creative in finding money and to get the right facilities and the right coaching staff to create a good academy. But at the same time, you're working at this full time. So this is what you do.
Correct. Most people we have in the academy and certainly around the first team are professional and full time. But yeah, the sky is not the limit. We have to be very creative with our resources. We're developing people, coaches, a staff, and obviously players, first and academy teams. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll get into that later in your role. But maybe a little bit of insight in your office.
Okay.
How is it situated? What's the most important thing that you have in your office?
In my office, two things. One of them is my notebook.
Yeah.
I carry it everywhere, whether I read or listen to podcasts or speak to people. I need to write stuff down.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I have a bad memory, but I want to write stuff down. So I want to be able to look back and learn.
Old fashioned, but I do exactly the same. I always have two notebooks with me. Yeah.
Very, very old fashioned. And a whiteboard. To me, in my office, there's a whiteboard so I can write stuff down, my thoughts, my ideas. So that's my personal office. But in the coach's office, so to speak, each coach has their own desk and room, but what we've created is a sort of a living room, couch, a couple of chairs, whiteboards everywhere, a chalkboard where we write down quotes. To me, that's essential when we look at the academy and facilitating an environment where we can talk about football and talk about development and new ideas. And that, for me, that's essential when we talk about the academy. It's a way to be creative, but to me, essential in the environment for our coaches.
Okay, so the coach's room, let's put that on one central then. It's a choice to create like a relaxed environment, because then people can be themselves properly, they feel safe, they can relax, but at the same time discuss. Is that what you're aiming for?
Yeah, they call it campfire living room, or just to talk about football, but talk about ideas. And I think if you want to learn and develop, creativity and sharing ideas, especially ideas, are very an integral part of development for you as a coach.
Okay. And how do you move around there? you could say, yeah, you're the head of youth, so people could see you as a boss. I don't know if that is the connection that's there, but do you also sometimes sit down on the couch, or often, I don't know, that you join the discussions and you want to feel what's going on between them?
I hope they don't see me as a boss. But yeah, join the discussion or start a discussion or just throw in an idea or just maybe sit back and relax and watch them have a discussion and talk about football or just to bounce ideas off. And my role is different sometimes. Sometimes they ask for my ideas and sometimes just listen, or I drop them with a problem or an idea and discuss it. And I think that's the strength of our academy, that we are able to share it and we're open for learning. And there's no ego where, I know better than you, because that limits learning, I think.
Yeah. Which is a pitfall within the football atmosphere. A little bit ego oriented. People tend to know better or tend to go, yeah, but we always did it like this, or I think it should be. It's pretty obvious, but it's better if it's the other way around, that everybody feels safe and you can just say whatever. Yeah. A safe environment, actually. Yeah, also for coaches.
Yeah, don't convince me with your opinion. Convince me with your ideas or ways to get something established.
Yeah. Can you give us a last example of a discussion that you had with the staff in that room, that you were sitting on the couch and something came to life?
Yeah, sure. I mean, many times you talk about football situations, okay? We encountered this way of pressuring by the opponent. I used it, but it didn't work. Or these coaches, we have a lot of young coaches. I mean, some of them are even Generation Z, and they know everything about digital platforms, and they find new ideas about training exercises, and we talk about them. Or we just say, listen, you saw something, try it on the pitch, and after that we'll talk about it, what works and what doesn't work. And what we don't want is Twitter coaches that put everything on Twitter and forget about the context. Let's talk about it, but within our context. And that's for me, those are examples of issues we talk about, or themes we talk about.
Yeah, so Twitter coaches, I haven't heard it, but I can imagine a little what you mean with it. But that's also interesting. You see so many content and exercises and everything out there. Yeah. You can just pick it, put it on your team, and then, okay, what am I doing actually?
I mean, for example, we saw an exercise on Twitter, and it was two squares inside each other with three colors, and it looks great. But the essence was that eight players were standing still. Right. So it looks great and the graphics are great, but essentially eight players are standing still. So what's the point? Yeah. So that's what I mean with, and we challenge each other. That's always good.
Yeah. So just to give a little bit of context, how long are you head of youth at VV now?
This is my 10th season. 10th okay. season, yeah. So I lose track.
You're very experienced, and at the same time, besides your job as a head of youth, you also guide, let's say, upcoming or head of youth at the pro level. Well, you help in that education part at the coach education course at the KMVB. You're one of the mentors of new professional head of youth, right?
Correct. Yeah, it's what the KFB calls it, the head of academy pro level or license. And I'm fortunate enough to help or mentor for those head of academies in their path and their process to become a professional of a pro licensed academy director.
Yes. Yeah. So your world is guiding coaches.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, people. I mean, yeah, coaches. Players.
Great. Okay, I want to pick your brain as much as possible in this hour. But one thing you said, okay, I also have a whiteboard in my office, and I use it for quotes or write the thing. What was the last thing that you wrote on your whiteboard? Do you know?
Oh, that's a good one. I do remember, but I have to, in my brain, translate from Dutch to English. Facilitate to learn, disturb to develop. I think was a quote.
Facilitate the learning, or
facilitate to learn.
Yeah.
And what was the thing I just said?
Disturb or disrupt?
Disturb or disrupt to develop. So you learn something.
Ah, okay, understand. Okay,
process. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you want to intentionally disrupt processes. I don't know, choices, whatever, to create development.
Confuse.
Yeah, yep. Sure. Yep. It's a little bit of the. It connects probably to, let's say, chaos theory, those kinds of things. Adaptability, to create adaptability.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. What was the
adaptable players?
Yeah, but it was the context was players. So
correct.
We're talking about players.
Players. Yeah, I'm talking about players, not coaches, but players. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
sure.
even with coaches, you can sometimes disturb them, and we've done that. I mean, especially in Corona. Coaches prepare their training sessions. I mean, and our coaches do that very well. But the disturbance, maybe half an hour before training, say, okay, great, but you're going to coach another team. You know, just to take him out of the comfort zone. And you know, what we don't want is coaches just take their team and, you know, this is my team and I'm responsible and that's it. It's a shared responsibility. And sometimes to take him out of their comfort zone means letting go of their team and do something else. And that could be another way to disturb them, yeah?
Wow, I never heard it. So during the Corona pandemic, when you didn't have the pressure of games, maybe there was a little bit more, less time, or different time schedule, whatever. And you didn't want to, I can imagine, because you didn't want to have things become boring because there were no games. You could only train the teams. Then you disrupted, let's say, the routines by saying, okay, coach, thank you very much for preparing, but now this is your team.
That's one. And obviously in the Corona period, it was a little easier.
Sure.
But why not do that on a Monday, you know, or on a Tuesday? I mean, I know that towards the end of the week, you want to be more with your team and prepare for Saturdays, which is only a means. It's not a goal in itself, but you can do that anytime. Yeah. Take them out of their comfort zone. We want the same we want from players. We want adaptable players. So why not want adaptable coaches?
Yeah, oh, I completely agree. I love that. I didn't hear it. I never heard it. I know that clubs do, let's say they switch, let's say time-based, 3 months, this team, but never unexpectedly. It's always, and you take out the discussion as well. Yeah, and you don't have time to discuss. It's in half an hour, go. That's perfect.
Yep.
That's perfect. Okay, but you put the quote on the board in relation to players. So what was the idea behind the quote, or what was the context of the discussion, or what was behind it?
No, I read it and to me it triggered me, you know. It also has to do with the learning environment you create. You want it for learning, you want it to be safe. But on the other hand, football is not always safe when you talk about the game and unexpected situations, and you want adaptability. And the only way to create or facilitate adaptability is to disturb them, you know, in a safe way. But disturbance can be on the pitch, off the pitch. Same with players, you know, under 16 players, 5 minutes before training, okay, you're moving up to the 18s. You know, what does it do with a player? You disturb him, not necessarily negative, but it does something with him. So he has to adapt. He has to go into a new team or a different team and do his thing. So I think it can be very valuable to use when it comes to learning.
Yeah. So you read it somewhere, you put down the quote, and then okay, you think about it, and then you walk to the coach's room and sit on the couch. Okay, guys, how can we develop? Okay, I'm doing it very superficially.
Yeah.
But in the short, I'm doing it in the short version. But is this something that comes up with you, and then you think, okay, how can I do? How can the coaching staff use this idea again? Or the idea is pretty much known, but we have to rethink this over. Or how do we do this? Is that how it works for you?
Yeah, a lot of times. Sometimes I just write down a quote. We have a blackboard as well, just to you know, let them talk about it. Or the last time, which is a couple of months ago, I wrote down a quote. And now I have to think because it's in Dutch. But know the difference between a fox and a porcupine. You know, and they got, for me, they had an assignment, but I refer to the quote. So sometimes I use that just to stimulate them. Yeah.
Okay. What is the reply of the coaches then? How does it work?
This task I had is what present yourself within 5 minutes, but share with us your leadership principles, your key values or your values, and what drives you. Because I think that when we talk about good coaching, the key is relationships. You know your player or know the people you work with. I mean, which is essential to me. But as a coaches, we also work together. Although we have different teams, it's also to very valuable to know your colleagues. So present yourself so we know each other. So if on the 16 coach presents himself and says, these are my drives, it helps us in his development, in the way we communicate, in with the way we help him and facilitate him in his development and in his growth as a coach. So I think it's very important that by triggering coaches, whether it's quotes or a task or a presentation, you help them in developing, but also knowing each other, you know, not only your players, knowing each other will create an environment where it's more open and people are not afraid to share their ideas. But maybe even though they might not like it, their uncertainties or I need help, you know. And that's the environment we would like to create. And sometimes by a quote or by just dropping something, sure. It helps them. Yeah. And it helps me develop, but also our academy.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you experience that you work with young coaches, you said?
Most
young coaches are already aware of this?
Mostly. I mean, life experience helps.
Helps, yeah, sure.
Coaching experience helps, but giving them and triggering them to think about their own development and to think about who you are as a coach will help you further develop. Because which I just mentioned, I mean, relationships are key in good coaching. But to me, good coaching starts with knowing yourself and being able to coach yourself. And if you never think about who you are as a coach and what triggers you and what drives you, and what your principles are, it's very hard to develop, because you need to know your core. You know, why are you a coach? And if you can't answer that question, I think it's very tough to coach other people. That's where we start. Yeah.
Yeah, completely agree. But the last episode we had somebody that was very keen on this. You are now very keen, so maybe. I was talking to the wrong people, but in before that, a lot of coach education or coach educators mainly focus on football.
Correct.
And especially, in the foundation courses, so UEFA C, UEFA B, it's mainly about what do we do on the pitch? What do you demand from your players? If I look back at my coaching career, it's exactly what I spent almost all my time on. But once I became a head coach of a first team or a senior team, I realized, okay, this is more about connection. Then I was thinking, okay, but that connection was just as important with youth. And maybe if you then go dig, okay, what am I doing? You end up with yourself. Okay, why am I going to that pitch 3, 4, 5 times a week with a bag of balls? What am I doing? So that question, in my opinion, that's why I'm asking, how do you think if young coaches are already aware? I think young coaches should be more aware or should be made more aware. And this is what you are doing. So that is very positive. But everybody that is a coach should know why he's on that pitch and what are his relationship strengths, what is his mental strength, but also what are your pitfalls, what drives you, what creates your stress, or how do you react in stress situations? Especially when you're coaching 9-year-olds, it's much more important because the impression that you leave with these kids is huge.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. I mean, you also need that. Or you don't need to, but for me, having an idea of what coaching means to you in your context or in general is very important. And to me, it's facilitating learning, growing, developing personally and professionally. And understanding that will help you grow and develop. Most coach education courses are, what are we doing with these kids? What exercises? And how can we have a progression methodically, didactically, which is great.
But okay, it's also football, sure.
Yeah. But alongside that, coaches should be made aware of that they need to develop as a coach, understanding relationships, building relationships, knowing themselves as a coach. And the courses don't have that. It should at least be part of it, but coaches should be made aware of it, that that's part of their development. And even if they just stimulated to read books or do other courses, that would be great. The same with kids. We always learn on coaching courses what we should teach. But the essential question is, how do kids learn before we can implement what we are going to learn them? So the same with coaching.
Coaches, we need your help to grow our audience. Rate us, like, subscribe, share this episode on your social media to help us grow. Because if we can grow, then we can continue to ask top coaches to inspire you.
Yeah. Yeah, there's such a big deficit between what is needed and what is taught. And okay, I know coach education is, and reinventing coach education is a slow process. We cannot change that overnight. I realize that.
Yeah.
But still, every professional that I talk to, I have this discussion. And every coach education, you talk about, okay, when, what, how, where.
Yep.
There's such a big gap. And most amateur clubs tend to stay in that first part, or in that last sentence that I said, okay, where, what do we coach and what is football? But the relationship at that level is maybe even more important, because that's where the love of the game, that's where you have to deal with parents, whatever. No, you do it. That's what it, you do that everywhere. Yeah. But I think it almost feels like it's neglected in that phase. But okay. This is one part, but you already said it a couple of times. What makes a good coach? And the whole reason, let's go back to the beginning. The whole reason that you're here is that you put an article on Generation Z on LinkedIn. That's what, okay, what we've talked before. You've correct. Been in some clubhouse sessions, actually. I think it was a little bit over a year ago or something.
Once so, in a while. It's a while ago.
Yeah, you popped in these discussions. Was fun, actually. And then you popped back in my timeline, and you were writing an article about Generation Z, and it really triggered me, because there's such a big difference in the generations, and Generation Z is such a specific generation. But maybe you can explain a little bit what you wrote down and how it's connected to coaching, because that's in the main essence, of course. But
yeah,
if you can explain a little bit on what you wrote and what your message was.
Yeah, I mean, it starts and ends with good coaching. But most kids and even young adults we coach now are what we consider Generation Z. And to facilitate learning and growing, development, you need to understand who's in front of you. And Generation Z is a generation which has grown up online. I mean, they were able to swipe before they can talk. You know, everything's online. It's accessible to them. Information comes to them very easily. They can look everything up. You know, they were almost born with a smartphone in their hand. So it influenced the way we teach and coach them. I mean, you can't say, well, everybody's the same. First of all, it's a very individual process, but you need to understand who's in front of you. And with this generation, they do have a shorter attention span. I mean, it's logical, because everything is at their hand. If they don't like it, they swipe, they go to a different topic, or, you know, so even the education system is different. I mean, I think I'm a lot older than you, and my education was different than yours, and the younger generation is taught and brought up even more different. I mean, we were sitting in lines listening to the teacher, and now it's, I mean, you walk into the classroom, there's groups of four, and they're working individual. There's a lot of noise. In my classroom, there was no noise. I mean, not good or bad, but it's different.
Yeah.
So you have to understand that they grow up in a different world. I mean, we see now the war in Ukraine. In the old days, we had one outlet, CNN, that reported the war, and you had to sit down. And now everything in every outlet, in every news, in every website, you can find information. So they're more in tune with the world, you know. They need more feedback, you know, and they always want to know why. And you can say, well, they're stubborn. No, they need to know why. And once you understand and discuss with them the why, they're in tune. They're with you. But don't say, do this because I say so. That doesn't work. You know, so it's a different generation. And each generation has their own challenges.
But why doesn't it work? Why doesn't it work anymore? Because they already know so much, so they need to connect the dots.
Well, basically, you can't sell them BS anymore because they can look everything up.
Yeah, you can swear in this podcast.
To me, BS is swearing already.
Okay.
You know, so and they switch after about 6 minutes. They switch to a different task. And you can say, well, they don't have an attention span. No, that's true. But that's the way they're brought up. You know, so for coaching or your discussions or talks or even exercises, understand that. You can't do an exercise for 30 minutes and understand and think they're going to keep their attention with you. You know, so it's, once again, it starts and ends with good coaching. But you need to understand who you're working and who you're dealing with. And then your good coaching has more effect on people.
Yeah. Okay. So that's part one of good coaching, knowing who is in front of you, and especially Generation Z, because internet was around when I was 13, 14, but you had to dial in, so you had to like wait 2 minutes before you could go online. It was the slowest thing ever.
Yeah.
So I am, let's say, two-thirds online in my life. Maybe for you it's half-half. I don't know. I'm not going to guess your age.
No, you don't have to guess. I'm 55.
55, okay.
Yeah.
And, for these kids, it's always been there. We all know the babies that already swiping on the TV. Mm-hmm. Because they think it's a screen, like you said, before they can even talk. That's just little kids. And then the older they get, they are used to phones. Phones are highly addictive. We know this.
Yeah.
And if you swipe, something new comes up, or some programs like TikTok do the swiping for you. They only give you 15 seconds of content. Pop, pop,
yep.
Pop. And we all know this is not the way that you want to get people's attention, but it's out there.
But if you know that, you know, they can only keep their attention very short, make sure that your message within that 10 or 15 seconds is spot on. You know, don't drag it out, or that's the way it is. I mean, sometimes I hear, well, they're a little bit lazy. No, they're still competitive, but they want short-term goals. You know, and if they do have short-term goals, they want to share it on Instagram. And we say, well, it's attention or attention craving. No, that's the way they're grown up. You know, and so we shouldn't say, well, or fight it. Use it. Use it in your exercises.
Yeah, that's what you said. We were talking on the phone a while ago, and you said, I said, how is that for you? Yes, I love that. That's what you literally said. My wife hates it, but I love it because it also creates a lot of opportunities. You could also say, I'm a different generation, should be like the old days, blah, blah, blah. No, you really sincerely said, I love these new things, and I love that generation. Why?
I mean, we have four at home. They're all Generation Z. I mean, and they're all different, but that's the way they are. And embrace it, you know. And I'm sure my parents said the same thing about me when I was, you know, their age, 15, 16, up to 23. But embrace it and make sure you get the best out of them. I mean, once again, that's coaching for me. Facilitate it. Facilitate learning and growing. And you have to just approach them a little bit different. And they don't want to be micromanaged. know, this generation doesn't want to be micromanaged. Include them. If you want to achieve something, include them in finding information. I mean, they swipe and they find it if you want to, if they want to. Use technology. These kids want to have clips of their own performance. They want to see themselves. And if it's very good, they share it on Instagram. I understand. But you can't deny the digital world in coaching these kids. So that's why I think it's very important that embrace it. Yes, it's different. But your job as a coach is to facilitate and help them grow as a person and as a, in our case, a footballer. So,
can you give an example how you implement these things in daily coaching, or how coaches at your club do it? For example, maybe team talks or whatever, video selecting. How do they do it? Or how do your coaches do it?
Yeah, we use visual content a lot. So we have videos and clips of games, sometimes of training, and use that on their. They all have an individual platform where we can share clips or even WhatsApp, but also send them video and say, okay, give me 3 or 4 examples of something that we can work on in training, or give me good examples of what we of your decisions. You know, include them. Don't write too many long messages. They don't read them. They want to have visual content and use it. A picture is worth 1,000 words. So use that in their development, yeah? Or let them find their own good moments in a game, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So they all have this app. The game was on Saturday. The coach says, okay, guys, Monday, I want to see 5 good clips of everybody, for example.
For example,
and they sit down with the players, show them, or you show them to the team. I can imagine also.
Yes.
Good moments of the team, for example. I'm starting to brainstorm already, but these are things everybody can do as well.
Yes, and use them in preparation for the upcoming opponent, or maybe you use clips of the upcoming opponent in sharing a responsibility. Okay, guys, how would you do this? How would you pressure? Or how would you build up? Those are all things. So you involve them in problem solving or ideas to help them grow and even win matches on Saturday, especially at the older age.
Yeah. Okay. And attention span is dropping. That's also clear.
Yeah.
I noticed it for myself as well. How would you use that in your advantage, or how do you treat that when you're coaching 2 kids, because we've all been there and had a team talk of 20 minutes and after 17 minutes of the guy in the back is sleeping. But how do you use this in an advantage, or how do you treat it with players now?
Well, I think team talk shouldn't be too long anyway, because everything you told them in the beginning, they've forgotten. So make sure it's key points. I think that goes for any generation, but especially this one. Use bullet points and say, listen, this is what we want to see, or this is what we want to do in a game, and refer back to it. But don't come with long talks, or don't come with sheets full of words and sentences. Keep it, make it to the point.
Okay, be very clear, short. Yeah. Bring it back to the essence. That's what you're saying. Yeah.
And they love data. I mean, every football club, especially first teams, use data, but they love it. You know, when you do testing or when you have data that you can use, share it, because they love it. They're used to it. It's visual content.
Yeah. If I'm thinking about, let's say, age 13 to 17, puberty, a lot of things are changing. How do you make sure that you're showing these videos, and you could also be very self-aware, and your mistake is there on the screen and your whole team is watching, especially I think in Generation Z, because they are very, how do you say that, they're very aware of if something is successful, in whether it's likes or social approval. How do you deal, because everything is out there, it's on video, how do you make sure that the environment stays safe?
I don't think you should use mistakes or too many mistakes when you talk about team meetings. In individual meetings or talks, you can use them.
Sure.
But the main focus should be on, okay, this is where we are. This is where you want to go. How can we together help you develop? And then clips of mistakes are okay, but also include them in how they can develop so they can learn from those mistakes, you know, and to bombard players with just mistakes, that doesn't work in any generation and it doesn't work in any age, you know. So use it, but make sure that you use it for growth and development, but include them in it, you know, and don't be like a dictator. Just do as I say and just follow me and things will go all right. Include them in their own development.
Yeah, I can imagine if a boy or girl selected its own clips, she also knows if it's good or wrong that people are going to watch it.
Yeah.
They're also used to people watching to them because this is what happens online.
Correct, but I mean, if they have a chance to share a clip, they'll never share a mistake.
No, no, that's
which is okay, you know. But make it bite sized, make it small steps. First, because of their attention span, but second, yeah, it just works better if it's bite sized, you know, small parts and help them grow. But once again, don't micromanage them. Give them opportunities for self improvement,
yeah,
which I think is very important.
Yeah, I completely agree. How is that for you? Because okay, I'm going to exaggerate. You're a 55-year-old.
Thanks.
These guys are 13, 14, 15. So you need to keep up with this as well. You need to transfer to their thoughts or think, know how they think. How do you do that?
By having a couple at home.
Yeah, yeah, sure. That helps. You have four. You have four cases at your dinner table every day.
But also keep up with their role models, keep up with their lingo. What music do they like? And sometimes I really think it doesn't even sound like music, but try to stay in their world, because eventually my job is to facilitate these players. It's not about me. You know, you shouldn't make coaching about you. Coaching should always be about somebody else. You should know yourself and develop yourself, but it's not about me. So how can I facilitate them and help them and assist them if I'm not interested in them? You know, and once again, sometimes I listen to their music and think, you know what, if I would have played a record backwards, upside down and scratch it, it would sound better. But, you know, that's the way it is, you know. So, yeah, show interest and show interest. Yeah.
I also have the feeling, but this is my feeling, that you don't judge.
I think it's very bad to judge, yes. Because judging is always about what you think about a situation or person. And I don't know the situation or the context a person is in. So judging, I think, is a bad idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you could say, yeah, this is new and it's better if you do this and this, but yeah. Well, you seem to me to like a guy, you take a step back. What is going on here? What is the context? What is happening with this player? Whatever. What is current society? Well, that's my impression of you so far. But it feels like you create like a safe environment straight away, even for coaches. Sit back, relax.
Mainly ask questions, you know. Judging means put my own opinion on something. And first of all, I don't like opinions. I rather talk with people about ideas and thoughts and experiences. But opinions, yeah, I don't care much for opinions. But judging to me is yeah, it doesn't help. It hinders your coaching.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Okay. Did we had all the characteristics of Generation C, or are there more?
Oh, I'm sure there are more. But I mean, to me, the message is always no. Understand who you're talking to, and even in different ages. I mean, a 12-year-old in Generation Z is not the same as a 19-year-old. So know their cognitive, their social, emotional development, their physical development. Understand that a 13, 14-year-old has a completely new body, which means he can react to a situation completely different than a 19-year-old. They're still the same generation and still grown up online and with all these characteristics we just mentioned. But to me, coaching is knowing who's in front of you and know their developmental stages. and their personal environment.
Yeah. How do you guide these guys or girls outside of the pitch? Because on the pitch, okay, it's clear, but a lot of things that they do this phase have an effect on them for life.
Correct.
Maybe I'm making it very big, but it's the case. How do you guide these guys, these girls and these boys?
Well, our goal is to help players develop into an autonomous person, first of all. So autonomy to me is very important. And so we need to create an environment where autonomy is facilitated, where it is rewarded. But around autonomy, you need to have players need to feel competent, you know, that they feel confident and competent to do things and make mistakes. They need to have a purpose. So why are you here? And how can we help you in small steps, especially in these ages we work in? How can we help you achieve those goals? Maybe a big goal, an ambition, or small steps. Where I started with, you need to have a connection. You need to be a relationship, a good relationship, so a connection. And the last one is appreciation. Appreciate what they're doing, even if they make mistakes. They need to feel appreciated. So for me, those five things are critical in a learning environment, which takes place on the pitch, but also takes place outside the pitch.
Yeah. In school. Do you create like a player development plan around it, sit down with the players, and they put in their input? Is that how it works?
Yeah. At our academy, we have four formal sit-downs or talks, or developmental talks. Sure. I mean, we have many more. I think the formal ones, the four, are very important, but the informal one, maybe even more important, because that's the 1 or 2 minute talk. That's when you come in. That's when player asks to see clips or discuss his development. But the first one is for us has nothing to do with football. You know, we talk about the player, but mainly we talk about the kid. You know, how's your home situation? What's your ambition? Who's your role model? Your life.
Is this like the beginning of the season?
Beginning of the season, yeah.
With or without parents?
No parents.
No parents. No,
we want to really, kids first, okay. You know. And
doesn't matter which age.
No, it doesn't matter which age. Yeah. Second one is with parents. That's sort of a status report. Okay, where are you? What goals did we set? What do you want to work on? What are your strong points? And where are we? Which is with parents? Because I think inclusion of parents is very important. But it's still about the kid. You know, they're there. We share our findings. We share our status, but you know, it's about the kid. The third one is without parents again.
Yeah.
And the fourth one, which is the final meeting, is with parents again, because that determines whether and they know already. You know, what's going to happen next year. You know, we do have players that are cut. But our goal for the whole academy is that we have at least 90% of players stay within the academy.
Okay.
So we don't drop kids in the foundation phase. So up to 12 years, you cannot be dropped.
Okay, you can either be in and stay in till you're 12.
Yeah, till we make a decision when you go to the under 13s. That also means they have to go to school here. So it's a big decision.
Sure.
You know, in the next 2 years, they cannot be cut.
And each year, 14, you cannot be cut.
No.
Okay.
Then each year after, yes, you can be cut. But just for example, we evaluated yesterday or the last couple of weeks, under 16s, under 18s, nobody is cut from our teams. We have two players that will stop at the end, but that's their own decision.
Sure.
And you can't avoid that you sometimes have to cut somebody. But we like to keep it to a minimum, yeah. Because we do believe in growth and development, especially at that age, it's very hard, you know, for kids. So we have four formal talks about development that we have scheduled each year.
And if we connect these four moments to Generation Z, what we're talking about, a player knows very well what's out there, and he probably knows itself more and more because he's seen himself already lots of times.
Mm-hmm.
How is the input of a player in those talks? Does he prepare his goals, or do you prepare it together, or do you prepare them?
No, player prepares them. It's completely, his development.
Fully 100% the player.
Yeah. Yeah. And once again, the coach has an idea about those developmental issues or things he needs to work on, his strong points. He gets feedback on them, but he gets feedback throughout the year. But it's his plan. You know, and if he decides to write down 5 or 8, that's up to him. Yeah, it's his plan.
Yeah. Okay. And now I can hear everybody think, but how would a player of this age, let's say 12 to 15, knows what good for him? If he is a right back and he wants to be his wing back, but he's not fast, do I need to talk him out of it? Or should I leave it like this? How do you treat those moments?
Now, obviously, you know, the older the players get, the more position specific our development is. So yes, if we have somebody that's the way we want to play, he's a right back, and he runs the 100 meters in 18 seconds, it's going to be tough to be a right back, in professional football. So yeah, we do need to make him conscious of what is needed in the next steps of his development. I mean, it's not like, okay, you can choose and it's a flower power and you choose whatever you want to be. No, it's his goals, the way he can describe what he needs to develop. But obviously the feedback and the input of the coach are very important, but also very valuable, because that will help him grow and have a realistic idea of his development.
Yeah, sure. So you could say you're a coach, but you're guiding the players to what is, in both of your ways, the optimal situation. But it needs, the ownership should lie with the players. That's what I'm hearing for sure, because then it connects specifically with this situation, a generation. Yep. Then it connects the best, and then you have the bigger chance of a good outcome.
Yeah, ownership, that's what it starts with. But we have an idea what it takes to go to the next level or the next age. And obviously, that needs to be matched with what they are able to do or where they need to go. So you need to have a clear picture of that and share it with your players. Yeah.
Now, interesting. You have young coaches and they want to prove themselves as well. As a coach, you also have a goal. And I said it last time, okay, players can do perfectly without a coach, but coaches cannot do anything without players. And sometimes it can be interesting if a coach, if my team does this and I win some games and of course I move up the ranks, whatever. How do you make sure that the coaches stay within this path all the time, that they always keep the player central and never their own ideas? Because I can't imagine that is hard, especially, no, I don't know, it's hard for younger or older coach. Because your coach is also an ego and he also has some interest. How do you manage this?
As an academy, we have a vision on how we develop players and how we want to play, and the goals we have as an academy to develop professional footballers. Within that framework, the coach has to act. He knows that. So before you become a head coach or a coach, you need to be committed to the vision of the club. Yep. And our academy. And obviously you can have your own input, but that, to me, that's leading. So yes, you say players can do without a coach. I think players cannot do without a good coach. You know, they can do without a bad coach. I agree. But good coaching is essential in the development of players. So we focus on good coaching, but within the boundaries that we have set as an academy. And each coach has their own input. You know, sometimes they say you are a product of your environment, which I believe is true, but the environment is also a product of you. If we have a new coach next year, he brings his own ideas to the table within our framework, but he's able to put his input and give his input to further develop us as an academy as well. So yes, it's tough. And sometimes as a coach, you think, you know, I have my own idea and I just want to win, but which is okay because everybody wants to win. But how does that connect to what we want as an academy? And that's the discussions you need to have with your coaches.
Yeah, completely.
Constantly. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm saying winning a lot in this podcast. It's not always about winning, but it's sometimes just your ideas and other ideas, or your idea about the player, or the idea that the player has for itself, which can could be conflicting, and especially when you start to think, okay, this is becoming my identity as a coach. This is my playing style. But what I'm hearing from you, okay, a coach cannot change the identity of Venlo, or cannot change the methodology. But if he has something that's truly valuable for everybody, it can be implemented. That's what I'm hearing.
Yes, correct. And we would be crazy not to.
Sure.
Because as an academy, you need to develop. You know, football 2 years ago is different than now. And in 5 years, is different again. So you need to grow as an academy.
Yeah.
And people are what makes you grow.
Yeah. Okay, great. Okay, I think we're getting more and more an impression. You mentioned almost every five sentences, good coaching. That's so important. And I also said, okay, what should we mention for sure in this plug? You said, okay, I want to talk about what is good coaching.
Yeah.
We've already said, but what is the essence of good coaching?
Yeah. Okay, to me, a couple of things. I mean, good coaching starts with knowing yourself and being able to coach yourself, as I mentioned before.
Sure.
Second, you need to be able to provide quality feedback, which also means that you need to have substance. You know, you need to know as a coach what you're talking about. In football, you need to know what you need to know about tactics and technical development. So you need to have substance. You know, you need to have quality in yourself. You need to create a safe environment with the five criteria I just mentioned. And you need to understand the developmental stages. Coaching an under 12 is different than a coaching an under 18. You need to understand that. For me, though, those are the key ingredients to good coaching. You know, facilitate learning, growing, development, personal and professional, or as a footballer, and having those key elements in it. To me, that's good coaching. Yeah.
And where do you start?
With yourself, knowing yourself, understand yourself. How do you learn? And doesn't mean that the way I learn should be put on everybody else,
sure,
but
sure.
Understand how you learn and how do you react and what drives you, you know, how can I help? How can I learn from other people? Have an open mind, you know. So start with yourself, and from there, start facilitating, everybody around you.
Yeah, and you need to pay attention to all three all the time. But you can manage the best relationships with everybody, but if you don't know what you're talking about, nobody's going to take you serious.
Yeah, the discussion, what comes first, pedagogy or didactic or methodology? And it's tough. I mean, you need to have both. I mean, you can have a great relationship with a player, but if you don't have substance and can tell them when to over or underlap, it's going to be tough. So it needs to be in good balance. Yeah. It starts with relationship, but after that, you need to have substance.
Well, it almost looked, I was telling you before we went on, I talked to Rebecca Sawyuk, head of Loughborough, director of football. Mm-hmm. Exactly. She said exactly the same.
No, that's good to hear.
You should call her. But she also, it starts with relationships. If you do not have the relationship, you cannot tell them anything. If you know football, you don't know how to communicate, it's never going to work. Every coach has been in a dressing room at one point that he felt, I am not connected to this group, what way or another. It all happens to us. Yeah. And then you really realize, I can say whatever I want, but nobody's going to take something out of this.
Yeah. And even within the group, you know, it's always a challenge.
Yeah.
The connection with player A is a little bit stronger or better or different than with player B. And how do you manage it? Because as a coach, regardless, you need to get the best out of both of them, you know, and that's always a challenge. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking two things. Yeah, you're completely right, because you think you can have a group, but there are always two or three that completely learn differently or don't interact. It's, well, everybody that thinks now that he was in front of the board and these 15 kids or 20 players in front, you. This is what happens almost every week. There's never a perfect run.
No, you can't coach a team. A team doesn't learn. You can coach all the individuals within a team and make sure they work together, but you can't teach a team. You can't coach a team. You coach individuals, and you make sure they work together and get the best out of the collaboration and working together with each other for a result or for, you know, in training for development. You can't say, oh, I did a great job coaching the team.
Yeah, but this changed what you now said, because this is something I, in my opinion, okay, maybe we knew a while ago, but in football, especially in the Netherlands, this really, really became the focus on the individual. Whereas, say, 20 years ago, you were just one message to everybody. Okay, mm-hmm. Maybe I'm exaggerating again, but it was one authority. That was the coach. This is how we're going to do it. And everybody needs to fall in line. Yeah. And this is how we do it. And that completely shifted.
Yeah, it did. But the thing about football is it's a team sport. So you need to make sure they are intertwined and they work together to get a performance, you know. But you can't say, I'm going to teach the team.
Yeah. Great, great. Okay. It's a great quote. You should, maybe I should write it on the board, but maybe you already did it on the board. Yeah. Great. Okay. Just a little side note, you picked up like 8 books. You just showed, no, I don't know how much, but you showed me some books before we start. Are you a reader?
Yeah. I'm
Do you
I'm
have reading. Time?
You have to make time. I mean, reading to me, interesting books is learning from other people. And there are so many good people out there. Dutch people always look abroad or to different cultures. And there's so many interesting and good coaches and good people in Holland. I mean, with my background in the US, I do read a lot of American coaches as well. But to me, reading is essential because there is so much knowledge out there. Yeah. I picked 3.
Yeah. Very curious.
Different. I mean, to me, growing up, not growing up, but living in America for the 90s, I watched Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And to me, this is Phil Jackson.
Yeah, great.
Amazing book.
Yeah.
And he's written a lot more, but that's his latest one.
What was the essence of that book? That he looked at the holistic approach of humans, right?
Yep, a relationship and getting the best out of people.
Crazy gangster MBAers doing yoga and whatever. And it was really a breakthrough.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Fantastic, fantastic career, but getting the most out of each individual within a group and having them work together, fantastic.
Yeah.
Yep. And some characters on those teams. You know?
Yeah. Yep.
Another one, which especially with learning, I'm very interested in learning how we learn, but especially how kids learn. So understanding how we learn. Okay. For me, a very
understanding how we learn from whom?
Jana Weinstein, Megan Sumaraki, and Oliver Caviglioli. If I pronounce it right.
Easy, but,
Okay. And so, it's in Dutch. Let me look at the English title. It's called The Goal, A Process of Ongoing Improvement.
Okay. What's the... Okay. Yeah. The Goal. Yeah. Okay.
Also a fantastic book about progress, about improvement, self-improvement, but also improvement as an organization.
Is it starts with goal setting? Is that what it's about?
It's kind of a story, but basically, if you have a conveyor belt, you know, a car factory, and at the end of the conveyor belt, there's a car. So everything you put on the conveyor belt, make sure it fits in the car.
Yeah.
So if you want a steering wheel, don't put on a steering wheel from a bicycle. So think about what you want, what your goal is, what the process that you are using, but make sure you do the right thing. And I always say, don't teach something that you have to unlearn at a later age. So start with young kids, teaching and learning them, but make sure you don't have to unlearn it at an older age. And this book has helped me in that. Yeah.
Great. Okay, yeah. Great. Very recognizable for everybody, I think.
I hope, yeah.
Okay, so we have three more. We have three books again to read. It's stacked.
So many books.
Yeah. Last two questions.
Okay.
You said you were going to surprise me with your nominations. So okay. I'm very curious who should we talk to next?
Okay. It's very hard to choose because I think there's so many interesting people, colleagues of mine, people I know, I've met. But 4 years ago, I did the master in coaching at the Cruyff Institute. Teachers there are fantastic. So I would like to nominate one of them, Karen Ephraim.
Okay.
Good to always have female coaches or interesting females on your
sure
on your podcast. So she's one of them. And the other one, I was thinking, you know, I like to, and he does. They don't know, but the second one is Lee Ketamol.
Okay.
Lee has a big career at Southampton.
Yeah.
He played for us here at Venlo.
Yeah.
But he's now the Middlesbrough under-18s coach.
Great.
So I'm very interested in his pathway going from a huge club, Southampton, you know, the ups and downs there, coming to Venlo at the end of his career and now into coaching. So I'm very interested in his journey and while he was here, we spoke a couple of times. Also, he came to the academy, showed his interest. So even when he was playing, he said he had an interest in coaching. So
great. I'm
very, very interested to hear how he's doing in his,
also,
in his
also
goal.
Also interesting to hear how he, as a professional player, experienced coaches and how he implements that now or what he does different.
At the big club in Middlesbrough, yeah.
Yeah, well, one of the best academies, I think, in the UK.
Yeah.
Okay, and Karen is more towards coaching in general and what is good coaching again? I think that connects with it there.
So far, the best one I've ever met in asking questions.
Wow, okay. I should prepare for that one.
It might take longer than an hour.
Yeah, okay, great. Okay, yeah. Okay, last great nominations. Really looking forward to that, and we'll make sure that we get them on the phone one way or the other.
Cool.
You said a lot, and I think there is a lot of value in this hour on Generation Z, also on good coaching, which I recognize as one of your main tasks. Okay, what makes a good coach? What would be your last, or what would be your main advice to aspiring coaches that want to be better, or coaches that just want to be a good coach?
Learn. Be open to learning. Try to get information, get information from different angles, from different coaches, from different walks of life, from different sports. I mean, there's so many good coaches from different sports that we can learn from. So for me, be open for learning.
Okay.
And great. Never stop learning. I mean, maybe that's the best advice.
Yeah, great. Okay, great conclusion to a great hour. It flew by pretty fast.
It's very quick, yeah? You said 45 minutes, but sorry.
Well, I say that every time, but I never reach it. No, that's what people think. You should do 45 minutes, easier to listen. I don't care. Okay, Roger, thank you very much. It was a joy to talk to you.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Speak soon.
Okay, ciao. Roger.
Bye. If you liked this episode, share it with your colleagues, share it with friends, share it on social media, like, subscribe, do whatever you do best and help us grow. Because the bigger we are as a podcast, the bigger and the more inspirational names we can invite to inspire you. And do not forget to pick up your 14-day free trial at thecoachesroom.com.
With your free trial, you have access to all our masterclasses, both the live ones and the on-demand ones. Coaches from top European academies share their knowledge and you can watch it. So go to thecoachesroom.com and pick up your 14-day free trial.